The Home Show with Tom Tynan podcast is made possible thanks to our partners like Overhead Door Company of Houston, the original authentic Overhead Door Company of Houston.
I'm a hard working man, working man, working man.
Good morning, Houston. Let's get you from to do to done right now.
I can ride rope, a hammer and paint, do things with my hands that most men can't. I'm a hard working man.
Need help with your to-dos? Or someone you can trust to do it for you? We're here for you. Home Show Radio continues with Tom Tynan.
And we continue on with Home Show Radio. I'm Tom Tynan. Call me and we will talk today about your home improvements. 281-496-5711. Let's get back to the calls. Let's talk to John. John, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Listen, my next project that I think I'm going to subject myself to is replacing some a section of siding on the house. And I think the square footage is such that it's over the 10% limit where I probably am going to have to have it inspected. I wanted to make sure I've got it up to – I'm in the windstorm area of Houston, actually down by Pearland. Can you tell me what the windstorm requirements are for the nailing pattern? This is going to be hardy lap siding. I'm going to put it on over 4x8 OSB sheets, and I know there are some requirements for like the edges and the top bottom and in the middle of the field of that sheet, but I don't know what they are, and I don't know where to find that information.
Okay, well, first off, if you need an engineer certificate, then you're going to have to get a windstorm engineer that's a private person. It's, unless you're just dealing with the city of Pearland, I don't know if they don't qualify for windstorm. They just qualify for their own municipality, as far as I know. Every time I built in those areas, we had to have an engineering firm sign off on it, which would be a windstorm engineer, and they would set the requirements.
Oh, okay. So that inspection is separate from the city.
When I was building, it was. Now, you can call the city and find out, or you can call the windstorm insurance people and ask them that, too. They change quicker than, they change their rules all the time. So what I say today could be wrong tomorrow with something like that. But I would definitely look into it to find out if they even want to qualify. You might be able just to do what was already there just the same way it was. But find out if they're going to require a special certificate. And then, of course, if you're in the city of Pearland and they have their own requirements, they're going to tell you. They should have everything set. And they might not for siding. I don't know if that's going to be an issue with the city. But it could be an issue, I think, more so with your insurance carrier.
All right, let me be devil's advocate. Are the requirements of the city going to match the same as the windstorm inspection?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think windstorm what happens is once a engineer overrides everybody and puts a stamp on it, the windstorm engineers, then everybody has to approve that. There's going to be an overriding factor in that because the city can give you minimum standards if they have them. But the bottom line with something like siding and wind resistance, they usually rely on the windstorm engineers to certify off. And the reason is they don't want the responsibility.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll do some calling first thing.
Yeah,
next
two
week.
Calls. One to the city to tell them what you're doing, and make sure you ask them if that qualifies for your insurance. See what kind of response you get. They might get good, might get bad, might get I don't know. And then call the windstorm people, ask them the same thing, tell them you're replacing some siding, and how you need to handle it to keep your insurance in effect, and keep it simple. Don't volunteer a bunch of information. And ask the couple of questions that you really need to know and just follow that.
All right, will do. Hey, you got time for one more question?
Yes, I do.
Just as I was waiting for you to come on the phone with you, I had a noise up in the ceiling, and my daughter has asked me about this a few weeks ago. It sounds, she said it sounds like a dripping noise, and it sort of does. But it's not, and I think what's happening is it may be a pipe noise, like the hot pipes, especially like today it's mid 50s here.
Mm-hmm.
It comes on and it sort of it starts out like a fast drip, like that, 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 and then it slows down and stops.
Yes.
Is that a temperature thing going on?
Yes, it is. In fact, I've gotten calls on that for the last couple of weeks as we're getting colder.
Okay.
That's your pipes expanding and contracting.
That's what I thought.
And it sounds so rhythmical that you swear there's water dripping in the wall, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's just a tick, tick, tick noise, and it will go fast. It'll go slow. Sometimes it won't be there at all. Just try to ignore it the best you can. What kind of pipes do you have in your house, do you know?
They're copper, I think.
That's why. Yeah, copper does it a lot. I have copper in my house. And I get tired of people come to my house and say, I think you got a drip in your wall. Shut up. Quit telling me what's wrong with my house. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm at home now. I'm not working. But, yes, it's the copper that does it quite a bit.
Okay. I won't worry about it then.
No.
All right. All right. Thanks a lot, Tom. Hey, you have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. And a good way to avoid a lot of that is when you're building in the future and you decide to use copper. Most people aren't using copper anymore for water lines. They're more into the PEX products, and they work really well. And they don't make those noises because they're a poly-type product. I could be wrong on the chemistry side of it, but a plastic of sorts. And that's probably wrong, too. But as far as that goes, they don't make the noise that the metal pipes make. Galvanized didn't make it so much because it was so thick. It took so much temperature to change the way it would react. But copper is thin-walled, and it will start to make those noises. Is insulate them really tight in the walls, whether they're on an outside wall or you think they're going to freeze. You don't always insulate for freezing. You insulate for noise. It makes it quieter when the water's running through it. It will avoid, even if it is making a ticking noise because it's insulated, you don't hear it because the vibration is stopped through the insulation, so the sound doesn't travel as much. So always insulate all the pipes, and people kind of think you're a little crazy, and it's really cheap to do. But insulate them real well before you close your walls up, and you'll avoid a lot of those little annoyances because some people, now I used to be real sensitive. I'm not anymore because as I get older, my hearing starts to change. Some people get really sensitive to noise. Some people, you can put a bomb off behind them. They're like, oh, what? So it's really up to the individual, and that's what you're dealing with, something like that. Hank, you're up next, but Texas Floors is first. Texas Floors is where you find your new floor covering. Talked to a person the other day, and he said, Tom, laminates or vinyl? I said, they're both good. Well, my realtor said laminates don't resell as much. And I said, well, you think the vinyl will resell? Because it's kind of new, the new luxury vinyls. Well, I don't know. Personally, I think they all look good if they're installed right. So here's my comment that I can help you with, at least in this sense, is either one's going to perform for you if you get a good one. If you buy it from a reputable dealer, they'll have the good quality products. They'll show you. Whatever one you get, excuse me, is going to be more expensive than you want because that's the way life is. But that's okay. And in the long run, when it's all paid for, you're like, okay, you don't think about it anymore. But getting it put down properly, having it look good, the details and things, picking the right style, colors, you know, the blends, so to speak, that's where it all comes into. So it's more than just, hey, which one is better? Should I get this one or that one? It doesn't matter when you deal with the right company who's going to make sure the end product, it looks fantastic. And that's what people want to see. They want to see the look. So Texas Floors, Jason and Ryan, they're second generation now, been in the floor business for decades, more than just a couple decades, but long time, kind of grew up in it from what I'm told. And they will take care of it for you. Shop at home. They bring all the samples to you. Follow all the COVID requirements. Don't worry about that. You're the boss when people come into your home. You tell them what you want them to do. And they will bring it so you can see these samples in your light, in your house, to see how the blends work. Because nothing matches perfect. And maybe you're going for a perfect match. Well, they got to bring a lot of samples so you can find one. But the most important thing, when they're done, they're going to do the job right, they're going to check it, and the warranties will stand in effect. And most importantly, again, I shouldn't say that twice, is the fact that it's going to look good. People are going to say, wow, that floor looks fantastic. And that's what it's about, because you're going to live with it a long time. We mentioned earlier, with a home, when you buy something, it's one decade, two decades. I've got carpet in my house. It's 22 years old. It still looks good. I can tell it's worn a little bit. And it's time, you know, in the next 5 years or so, we think about replacing it. But very pleased with it because we took care of it and we bought good quality product. That's what it's about with floor covering. It lasts a long time. Texas Floors are also located at Spring Cypress and 290. You can go see them. there, and you can visit them today. And don't even leave the comfort of your home by just going to their website at homeshowradio.com.
Why gamble on your home improvement projects? Play it smart. Go with the experts Tom trusts. Select professionals who've qualified to be a certified home show pro.
Custom Gutters. That's custom with a K. Home of the lifetime warranty.
Right Touch Electrical. The right way is the only way at Right Touch Electrical.
U.S. Pool Builder, building your custom backyard oasis so you can relax, retreat, revive.
Find Tom's directory of trusted home show pros anytime for any project at homeshowradio.com. Now, more Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
And we're back here. We're going to get to the calls, 281-496-5711. Today is apparently button day, adjusting all the buttons. You know what? I don't know if you ever looked at radio equipment. Hank, we're gonna pull you up here in 10 seconds. But they put 100 buttons, and all you need is two. And so you got to figure out which one does what. And most of them don't do anything. I still haven't figured out radio boards and how they all work, because it's just way overcomplicated. All right, enough of my in-house complaining, but I'm it's not bothering me that much. I'm kind of used to it after 30 plus years. Let's talk to Hank. Hank, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting ready to start building the house in Houston here in the next few months, and we're working on the insulation plan. And I'm curious whether you have any experience, or you've heard of anybody doing a spray foam in the ceiling, but doing just the standard bat insulation in the walls. It seems like the spray foam companies want to spray foam the whole thing, and I think I'm leaning towards wanting bat insulation in the walls. Just wanted to see what you think.
I think if you're going to do that, it would be a better choice never to do the wall cavity. And if you want to do the attic, if it's a well-ventilated attic, if you're asking me, are you going to foam the rafters and do a closed attic system, I think that's nuts. I would never. I wouldn't do it. If somebody paid me money to build it, I still wouldn't do it. Because it's going to make an unhealthy home for them, and I don't want them to have to deal with that and all the different mechanical equipment that goes along with it. Personally, and when I build homes, million-dollar homes for people, and some of them were not million-dollar homes. The quality was always the same. The homes were just bigger or smaller. But as far as that went, it was always formaldehyde-free fiberglass, and I stick to it today, and that's what I have in my own attic. And I just had my attic re-insulated about 6 years ago, 5 years ago. Had it all beefed up with that exact product, and that's what I would continue to use. I would not use any foams at all in the Gulf Coast region. I think you're opening up a can of worms you shouldn't. And I think in the long run down the road, it's going to come back to bite you.
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's kind of where my head has been, is that the foam seems like it can lead to problems with mold and just an unhealthy, airtight environment.
Yes.
But for some reason, they want to spray foam all these new, fairly expensive houses. And, in my neighborhood, a lot of the houses that go up, you do see them get fully foamed. I mean, not just the attic, but the entire thing. And
I understand.
It seems to be, it's become the... the main way of doing things now.
No, it's not the main way. It's the main way of people making money and not looking at the whole picture. One of the big issues in Houston right now is Houston is a very vibrant city. The rest of the country is going through a horrible time, and the building industry is not where it is down here. And companies have to sell product, and they're all flocking to the Houston market, because this is where they can move a lot of product and keep their companies going. And I'm just as much a capitalist as anybody, but you know what? They're not getting my money because it's the wrong application for the Gulf Coast area. You also have the situation where you have a Zone 1 and a Zone 2 through the United States, and there's a little place called a Zone 3 that nobody even looks at, and it's the Gulf Coast. It goes right across the top of Houston all the way to Florida. Everything below that in that area has to be handled totally different. And that, luckily, is where I got my education, where the research that I've been a part of has been done, and what this show is all about, because people come from other parts of the world and selling us things that don't work down here. You got to design differently for this area.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And you know what? You're going to save money, too, because it's a lot less expensive. You're very welcome. Thanks, Hank, and that was a good question. And stick to your guns. Don't let them talk you into it, because everybody wants to talk you into the latest and greatest garbage. We go right back to one of the first calls on the show today. A gentleman called me back from a conversation we had earlier about the smart home, technology in the home. Oh, yeah, and he's an IT guy. This is what's funny is, and believe me, IT guys are my favorite people in this world when it comes to, I can tell you how I got phished and hacked on my computer the other day. My son, via Zoom, and he's in Denver, had to clean up my entire computer because I did the dumbest thing in the world. I clicked on something I shouldn't have. And boom, my whole computer was just frozen. Anyway, he fixed it. IT people are important to me, but he IT'd his home with the latest and greatest, and he still can't figure it out. And it's so much money. Don't get into that with homes. I can't tell you how to do your cars, and I can't tell you how to do your offices, your businesses, what kind of software you're going to use, your security systems. That's different. But when it comes to a home, I think I'm on the right track with it, and I haven't been told that I'm not. And people, my clients, my listeners, I think they like the information we give them. So I'm going to stick to my guns on that one, and I'll do it with a smile. It's not I have to hate you and I have to unwoke you and cancel you. I don't do that. I like everybody. But when you're my listener and you call me for advice, I'm going to give it to you. Whether you use it or not, my uncle used to say, throw it in the trash if you want. I'll give you some advice. You can throw it in the trash. You can use half of it. You can use it all. It's up to you. Once it's out, it's in your hands now, and it's out of my hands, and I just hope that you, whatever choice you make is the right choice for you. The choice I made many years ago when it first hit the market here in the Houston area was Hardy Siding. James Hardy Building Products made a siding that worked. Talk about a Zone 3 product. Gulf Coast tested, Gulf Coast approved. Test of time, I always say when it comes to home products, they better last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Some people have laughed at me. No, don't laugh at me. There are homes that are hundreds of years old. Buildings, you have to, you know, improve the plumbing and electrical systems and stuff. Yeah, that's just, you know, replacing the guts of it. But the basic building itself, hundreds of years old. The brick is still on the outside of homes that are 300 years old because it was a product that was going to last. And Hardy Siding, it's the same kind of product. It doesn't come off the home and get thrown away until you want it to. It doesn't rot. It doesn't burn. Termites will not touch it. It holds up against high winds if you put it on properly. If you put the proper sheathing package behind it, it's an incredibly strong product. The insurance industry loves it because of the fact that in hurricane-prone areas, it's one of the better products. The product they hate the most was the vinyl. Vinyl will peel off like a outside of an onion. Once it starts to go, the whole thing is gone. It just starts peeling away. But Hardy, it has surpassed everything on the market, and nothing has even come close to competing with it. So, new home, existing home. You're going to reside your home? Great. Choose the product. We got Hardy. Choose the installer. That's a certified Home Show Pro, an elite preferred installer. Elite preferred comes from the Hardy Corporation because they train them. And then you step it up to our certified Home Show Pros from this show here by going to homeshowhardypros.com. That's homeshowhardypros.com. Product, installer, best job.
Now back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
We will talk today. Talk about your home improvements. Till noon, then we all got things to do. Maybe you have something to do today and you're listening driving around your car. If you are, thank you. I appreciate it very much. You, because of listening and calling when you want to, and using our certified Home Show Pros and having them do a good job for you, you make my life better. And I just want to say thank you. That comes from me. Personally, let's talk to Steve. Steve, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, Tom, appreciate what you do. Over the past 15 years, I've remodeled two different homes, and I can't tell you how many times I've called you, and you've always led me in the right direction. And so whatever you told me to do, I probably did 95% of the time. And it was also a good feeling for me knowing that when I went to sell those properties, that I'd get the return on my investment and everything was done correct. So,
okay, let me just say thank you.
I appreciate that.
And you're welcome. But most importantly, you didn't learn your lesson the first time. You want to keep remodeling these things?
That's fine. Trust me, this is my last one.
Okay. There always is the last one. Believe me, I think I did my last one once, too.
Yeah, no, this is the last one.
Okay.
So a couple of questions for you. I know the paint manufacturers have a specific temperature on the back of their cans where you shouldn't, you know. So I'm looking to start that process on this house. It's got the old 105 on it. I need to scrape it and start priming it and painting it. So what weather conditions do you just prime or paint under? I mean,
okay.
From a degree standpoint.
Yeah, no, this is a great question. For us in the Houston area, I assume you're somewhere here in South Texas, it's not a big issue. The most important thing is when it's raining, of course, and it's outside, you don't do it. Secondly, you see these temperatures, but they're actually surface temperatures, and they don't really explain that real well on the cans. So you can have wood that's not as cold as the air. And if the sun's beating on it, it's probably a lot warmer than the air. So if it's a day like today, even though it's cold out, I would say go for it in a heartbeat. I would not.
Okay.
And there's an old painting trick. You always paint in the wintertime where the sun is. So you follow the sun around the house if you're going to be doing things like that.
Oh, okay.
And you don't paint on the cold side, which would be the shady side, because that means the temperature of the surface could be a little too cold. And you want to get real high tech, you can get one of those little guns and shoot it. But that's just too much trouble for me.
Okay. Okay, good, good. Hey, I had one more question. I have another house that we need to do a little work on, and it's about a 15-foot run on the back side, on the west side. And this house was built in the 60s. It's got the old 1x12 rough cedar, and they did a Borton Batten look. And I'm not going to be able to find a true 1x12. And we really wanted to come back, and because the whole back of the house has this cedar on it. And so we're trying to match up something the best that we can. And I just kind of wanted to get you know your thoughts on it.
So you've got a true rough sawn 1x12 cedar?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you called Lucas Redwood and Cedar up in Conroe?
Have not.
Call them.
Okay.
It's still a marketable product. You don't see it a lot anymore. So see if they have some or have access. I don't know how much you need, but see if they can get it for you. And the other thing is this. Sometimes you can go to a BMC or a Bison. They have mill shops. Now, if you need 10 boards made to match the house, they can make them for you. Now, you're going to say, well, it's expensive for each board. But it's less money than trying to get the whole house looking, the same all the way around. So sometimes an expensive board is the cheapest way to go.
Yeah. I mean, we're just trying to match it up. It's going to go on the market. So we're just trying to, you know.
Yeah, call Lucas. I used to do a lot of work with them. I haven't in a long time. I hope they're still in business because I haven't called them in a long time. But they were always the go-to people.
Okay, Tom. Appreciate you, bud. Thanks so much.
All right. Good luck with your house. It's like kids. You know when it's the last one you don't want anymore. I remember after my third, I said, no, I don't want any more. No. Three is enough. And you say, you know, I always ask my friends who keep having kids, I said, you know how this happens, right? They'll look at me like, what are you talking about? And I was just wondering if you really know how these kids come around. Okay. Because I've got some friends that had kids when they were 60 years old, 65 years old. They go, what are you thinking? And they always say about 6 years later when they get to be 75, yeah, I know, Tom, I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, they love their children. They raise them well, but you get to a point where you're, oh, well. I think a lot of you will say yes, or a lot of you will say, Tom, shut up. Okay, we'll just shut up for that one. I'll listen to the shut uppers right now. 281-496-5711. One thing I won't hear shut up is when you need somebody to paint your home. Inside, outside, fix your sheetrock. We had a call earlier, a guy wants to get rid of his window. I don't know if it's getting rid of the window or if he needed a gutter just so he could keep the window, but that's going to be his decision. But when you need someone to take on these projects like this, inside, adding crown mold. I had one gentleman call. He was going to rip out all the paneling in his home, and he called Rudy. I'm getting to Rudy's quality painting. Rudy came over, and he said, you know, we can dress the whole room up. We don't have to tear the paneling out. We can make it a smooth surface. We can even texture over it. So why don't we rethink this together? And the guy did, and he was so happy with the results. They had crown mold, new window trim. The paneling was smooth and textured, and it's because you deal with a professional. Rudy's Quality Painting. This is a time of year where many of you are wanting to do the outside, and it's okay to call a painter now. Today is a beautiful day to be painting. A couple weekends before, I think it was before Christmas or right after Christmas, it was cool, and I was bored because we were on a hiatus from the college because of the break. I'm not a person that can sit around for 2 weeks. I don't like it. So I found things to do around my house. One was I scraped and painted a fascia board over my outdoor kitchen. Looks fantastic, by the way. It was nice and cool and stuff, but it was a great time to do. A nice, sunny, cool day like today is a great day to paint. And you can call Rudy's Quality Painting, and he will be there whether it's cold, whether it's hot. It'll always be the right temperature when Rudy's there and you see the paint go on. And all the prep work can be done no matter what the temperature is, and there's always more prep than paint. It's just the way it is. Call Rudy's Quality Painting at 281-227-6100 or visit him online at homeshowradio.com.
Now, back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
Yeah, my man. All right.
Hey! 281-496-5711. Call me and we'll talk. That's 281-496-5711. All right, let's get back to the calls. Let's talk to Carl. Carl, you're on Home Show Radio.
Morning, Tom. I built a house and used a cultured brick that was sold by a company called Burrell, I believe. It came in four colors. I used white, so it's not a true brick. It's a man-made stone, and we call it a paste and stick type. Anyway, during the construction, red clay got up on the bottom of it, and I have tried to clean it off, and it is not even beginning to budge. You know anything that you can treat that particular stone with that you're not going to etch the stone and able to clean off any kind of the clay that's on it?
No, because I'm not familiar with it, but this is what I would do if it was me. I would call that company and talk to them and find out what they recommend in cleaning your stone.
Okay, no kind of chemicals that you're aware of.
Well, I'm not sure about that. There's a lot of chemicals. There's a lot of, you know, cleaners. There's pressure washers. But I don't want to tell you to use something that's going to make it worse. And
yeah,
so
I used a pressure washer, and it didn't put a dent in it.
Right. So, I don't know. You're going to – I answer these questions if it was me. I've been in the business all my life. And I call the manufacturers all the time and ask for recommendations on what they recommend you use to clean things up, or what kind of glues do you, or whatever my question is.
Okay, that's what I'll do.
The only product that I've used to just to finish the thought here in this call that I know won't hurt anything, that might not work, and that's why it's hard for me to tell you go buy a gallon of it and it doesn't work, then you're just sitting in your garage for the next 20 years. Is Simple Green. I've used it to clean things that I didn't think, you know, what I should use. I keep a gallon of it around. I always try it. It probably works. I'm not going to give it a percentage. Everybody wants to go 99.99. They always say that stuff. I don't know what the percentage is, but sometimes it works for me. If I had some, you know, that was not on the house, or I'd take one little one where nobody could see it, and then I'd try every chemical I have in the whole entire house until I found a way to clean off that one little tiny brick, then I would go ahead and approach the rest of it. But usually, before going through hours of aggravation, it's a lot easier just to call the company and say, hey, I got this, what should I do? And then send them a picture or do whatever it takes. But companies do have R&D people and customer service reps and things of that nature. Most good ones do. If you deal with a company that doesn't, you probably shouldn't buy anything from that company. There's a lot of companies that just sell to the retailers, and it's off their back, and that's it. But the things have changed today. If you go to a Home Depot, and in the old days, if you bought a ceiling fan and it was no good, you brought it back to them and you say, hey, it doesn't work. But today you have to, they say, hey, well, we sold it to you, but all warranty, because you want it under warranty fixed, right? All warranty stuff has to go through the manufacturer. You have to contact them directly. And so a lot of these manufacturers, to get into the big box stores and things like that, they have to have that kind of department. And I've used them many times, called many companies for little things, even things that I did wrong. Like I lost a part for a ceiling fan once. It was the part that the little nut decorative cover that held the glass on for the light kit. And I called her. The lady was so nice. She said, oh, yeah, we won't charge you. Just we know what it is. It had a fancy name. I forgot what it was. She knew it. Probably got that call a million times. And about 3 days later, they just mailed me one. And it was really nice. It was a pleasure dealing with them. I want to say it was Harbor Breeze, but I could be wrong, so I don't want to give out more bad names or wrong names. But it was a delightful conversation, and I've done it with some pool equipment too. They've always been really helpful with different pool equipment that I've had to deal with. All right, Lord's Chimney is who you call when the time comes to have a fire. Is the time coming tonight for you to have a fire? Was it here a couple days ago when it was really cold? Did you want to have a fire? Are you afraid of it? Do you know your chimney is working right? Lord's Chimney will find out. They're chimney sweeps. I know, Mary Poppins, there you go. They're no Dick Van Dyke, because he's not a chimney sweep. He played one on TV, or in the movies at the time, but he's no chimney sweep. But the people at Lord's Chimney, they are chimney sweeps. Chimney sweeps, they went, oh, they just go into the vacuum and clean out the schmutz. It's a lot more than that. They take care of linings that are cracked. They remove critters from chimneys. They clean out old nests. They replace the crown. They do masonry work. They do flashing work. If it's leaking, you know, a lot of roofers say, hey, that's a chimney leak, that you're going to have to call someone else for that. And this is who you call, Lord's Chimney, because a lot of roofers aren't going to mess with it, because if they start messing with it and trying to fix it, they could do damage to the actual operation of the unit. And that means that your house could burn down. And that's a whole different story. And it's a different road you don't want to go down. I've been down that road. It's not a pretty sight. Lord's Chimney will help you with that. To find out more about what they do as certified chimney sweeps, and they do duct cleaning like for dryer ducts and stuff, they have all the equipment. That's part of their job, avoiding fires in people's homes, making sure these kind of things are running safe. It's Lord's Chimney. Visit them online at homeshowradio.com.
Now back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
.281-496-5711. That's the number to call to get in on the show. And we have open lines. Right now we're going to talk to Anthony. Anthony, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, good morning, Tom. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good, good. I have just two, I think, pretty quick questions. I have a under stairway half bath that has the vent fan in there, and I'm getting a lot of air coming in from that fan. Is there a damper or something that opens when it's on and closes when it's off that they sell at the box stores or something for that?
There's supposed to be one in it.
Okay.
So you can take, have you taken the cover off and looked up inside of it?
Yes, sir. I actually replaced this one years ago thinking that replacing the fan was going to fix that issue, and it didn't. So I was just getting a ton of draft through there. And there's no vent pipe, of course, because it's under the stairs.
So it doesn't go anywhere?
No.
Oh.
Okay. It's kind of a weird way they built the house. It's right adjacent to the garage, and then there's no attic access above that.
You're getting the cold air from the just that space that it's venting into.
Yes, sir, I believe so.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to do anything with that. Because, you know, it's supposed to vent to the outside, or to a vent that goes to the outside. I mean, everything it's supposed to do, it's not doing.
Right.
I don't know if it works for you as far as smells go, being a half bath. If it does, right. The smell's going somewhere. I don't know where it's going. But,
yes, sir.
I don't know. It's almost as if I'd get rid of it and not put one back, but I'm not sure what else to tell you on that one. If it doesn't have, because you can get the exterior grills that go on the outside that have a little door that open and close when you turn it on. We use those for vent hoods for cooktops and things of that nature, and dryer vents too, for that matter. Same little thing. But as far as it not having a duct and going somewhere, I'm not sure what to tell you.
Okay. So it sounds like you're saying they sell a fan that for exteriors that has an open and close type of mechanism
Most vent fans that I've gotten, they comes with a piece of ductwork that goes on top that has a little door that swings open and closed. It's not much of an insulator. It doesn't do a whole lot of good. A lot of people remove them because they get stuck and they get real dirty. So a lot of people just pull the little thing out, but it's just a little piece of metal that flips up and back and forth. But as far as making it nice and warm in there and then, you know, opening up when you use it, it really, you're not going to, I don't know if you'd notice that much difference.
Okay, okay. I thought about maybe since it's adjacent to the garage wall, maybe just running a little, like you said, dryer vent, a little short tube to that wall. And
if you could
so
do that,
it vents out.
Yeah,
so
it would. It would go into the garage, but then you could put a cover on it, and you would use what was called Lamiflex, which is the 4-inch dryer duct, that little silver insulated. It's not much insulation, but it would help a lot if it went to the garage, and you put a little cover on the garage wall. If it's going out the wall, that would be real simple, and it has that little door on there. That would work.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask you. What type of vent would it be? You're saying,
do you know what a dryer vent looks like? It's kind of on a slant, and then it shoots it out the bottom.
Yes.
You use one of those. What you would use is what you use on a dryer, because you're going to use a 4-inch Lamiflex duct, which attaches right to that, and then you just tape it to the backside, and it goes right on the wall, and a couple little screws will hold it in place. But it'll be sealed because you tape that duct to the backside of it. It has a little collar that it goes on.
Okay, that sounds about what's going to be the best option on that. And then quickly, the next quick question I had was I'm needing to replace the weather stripping on an exterior door. How do you size that? There's so many different sizes. What am I actually measuring to figure that size out?
When you say weather strip, is it the rubber?
The rubber piece, yes, that kind of sticks in that little piece of wood. I guess you have to kind of set it in there.
Yeah, it just goes in a little groove. You're not talking about the bottom of the door. You're talking about the sides?
The sides, yes, sir.
The best thing you can do is just cut a little piece off and take it with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get rid of it anyway, and I'm sure you'll find it. Whether you find it at Home Depot or not, I don't know. You can go to Holscher's Weather Stripping or something like that. You might even find it online and get it mailed to you. Like, I just had my Bronco weather strip sent to me from my old 96 Bronco online. But as far as that goes, take a little piece with you and just hold it up next to it and see if it's the same size.
Okay. What is the weather stripping place you said? Holscher's?
Holscher's. H-O-E-L-S-H-E-R-S, I do believe. Yes, Holscher's.
Weather stripping.
And you can tell you what, if you just go online, and I hate to use the word Google because all the stuff's going on today, but find a weather strip company that sells it to the public somewhere close to you. Just go to any of them. If they're close to you, they'll have it.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting where I can see, like, daylight through the gaps on my door
and
now.
And they're supposed to be replaced, and that stuff is easy to replace, but, yeah, you don't want all the gaps. Then the tarantulas come in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay, fine. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, partner, we'll see you.
Bye-bye.
I say that jokingly because down in my little place I'm renting in Brownsville where I work part times of the week and month and all that. I found one crawling up underneath the weather strip on the bottom of the garage door that is brought to mind. It was a little hole with a big tarantula. Well, then it was battle, me and my broom and the tarantula. Guess what? The broom won. I left its body outside so all its friends would see it and not say, oh, we better not go over there. Oh, Billy got his butt whipped on that one. All right, thank you. Gulf Coast Windows. Jim Fiume, the owner, the founder of Gulf Coast Windows. That's right. A special day for Jim. Jim doesn't know I know this, but I do. It's his birthday. So happy birthday, Jim Fiume. Not that he's listening, but if he is, it'd be great, but probably not. He's a busy man doing lots of things, making sure people have the windows they want for their homes. That's what he does. He has a window for everybody. We had a caller earlier today. Tom, he was living on a golf course, and he had 14 windows. He had 22 in his house. He didn't want to replace all 22. He only replaced 14. I probably told him it's probably best to replace all 22 so it matches throughout the house. Whether he does that or not, that's up to him, and maybe he can get around it. But who do you start with? Who do you talk to about whatever your solution is? You start with Gulf Coast Windows. They will take care of the whole project for you. Whatever kind of windows you're getting, they have wood windows, aluminum windows, vinyl windows, hurricane glass windows. So I'm not going to get into all the specific windows they have because that's their job to show you what would be best for your project. But it's impressive, and the window quality is exceptional. The installation quality, same, exceptional, as well as the warranty and the financing plans and everything else. Call Gulf Coast Windows at 713-849-5454. If you call them today and Jim happens to answer the phone, and it's not, I will tell you this, it is not unusual for Jim. If nobody's around and that phone's ringing, he's going to answer it. It's not unusual to talk to him. Not going to be every call, but He has a lot of people work for him. He has a great team he's put together. But you never know. If it is, then just say, happy birthday, Jim. And by the way, I want to buy some windows. That's Gulf Coast Windows. Happy birthday, Jim Fiume, the owner and founder of Gulf Coast Windows.
You work hard for your money. Choose professionals who do the same. Choose experts who've earned Tom's trust. Certified Home Show Pros.
Due West Foundation Repair. When you want the best, call Due West. Advanced Home Exteriors. Hardy pros you can trust for Hardy Color Plus siding. Absolute Comfort Air Conditioning and Heating. Indoor Comfort Pros year-round.
Find Tom's directory of trusted Home Show Pros anytime for any project at homeshowradio.com. Now, more Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
We're going to talk today for another hour after this. We're about to close up this hour, and we'll have one more hour, and I'll be leaving at noon off the air and in my truck and down to Rosenberg, where I'm going to have drill weekend for the Texas State Guard. I'm a member, and very many, many, many members, and we're always here for you in the state of Texas. There's no doubt about it, and we work closely. We're at the Armory, the National Guard Armory down in Rosenberg is where I am stationed, I guess you might say, with Bravo Company. Let's talk to Hank. Hank, you're on Home Show Radio.
Good morning. I have a question about an old farmhouse. We may rent out occasionally on the weekends or something like that, but I was thinking about whether I should get a regular hot water heater or on demand, since most of the time no one's going to be there. It's all electric. It's going to be all electric.
You can get an on-demand, or you can get a tank. All I can tell you with the tank is just leave it on all the time. Don't turn it off, because it'll grow all kinds of nasty stuff in there when you leave, so don't turn it down or turn it off. But one or the other is fine with me. I don't have a problem. I've had weekend homes before. They've had tanks. I just leave them alone, leave them on. They keep the water hot, and they keep the bacteria from growing.
But it won't be more expensive versus the tankless?
No, you're talking pennies. If you don't use the water, people get this a little confused. When you don't use a tanked water heater and it just has to maintain a temperature, the electricity it uses is very little. And Hank, I will tell you this. If you have a weekend home, that's the least of your energy worries. You also have to leave in the summertime the air conditioner on, and in the wintertime you have to leave the heater on. Now, you don't have to leave it on at the temperature when you're there, but in an air conditioner, you have to leave it at 85, and in the wintertime, you leave it at 65. The idea that you can have a weekend home and turn everything off and then just come back and everything's fine, that house is going to become a mess. It's going to become unusable. So you can't do that. Once you buy a second home, third home, whatever the case may be, it has to stay acclimated. You can't not ignore it and just think you're only going to turn that stuff on when you're there a few days out of the month or whatever the case may be, 6 months out of the year. It's got to stay acclimated.
So when we leave, normally we put the heater on 60 and the air conditioner on 80.
I would tell you could go up to 82 or 85. I don't want to get hotter than that because then the house starts to deteriorate. 60 is fine. I used to put 65, but 60 is fine. I can live with that one. But you got to leave something on, and it will run. But that little bit that you leave the water heater on just to keep that tank hot is going to be pennies. You probably wouldn't notice that much of it if you had it on or off, and then you had to go and had to empty it. You had to clean it. You had to fill it back up. You had to reheat an entire tank of water. I think it would be a wash. I don't think you'd see a difference at all.
And the tankless will be much more expensive also.
The initial putting it in, if it's electric, you're going to have at minimum of 2, if not 4, 30-amp breakers going to it. And so just the electrical run alone is going to be more expensive getting it all hooked up. And then, of course, the unit itself will be more expensive probably than a tank. It should be. If it's a big enough unit, it can be well over $1,000. And then you have to hook it all up, too.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. When you have a weekend home, you've got to maintain it, and it's got to run. People make that mistake, and we've gotten questions on. In fact, I remember one that sticks in my mind from Louisiana on our website, and these people inherited a house that was let go like that because no one was there, so they just turned everything off. When they got into the home, it was unlivable. And they were wondering, how do I clean it up? Well, in some cases, maybe you can't. In some cases, it can get so bad that it has to be, it's cheaper just to tear it down and build a new one. And just get rid of the whole mess if it becomes so toxic. There's some projects I've dealt with. We're dealing with one now. It's the old Dillard's building in the campus I'm at now. It was an old, was called Amigo Land Mall, and now it's a college campus. And they let this building with a 6-foot hole in the roof just deteriorate for over 10 years. And now to go in there, you have to have a hazmat suit. And have you ever been to a Dillard's in a mall? It's a big building. It's 2 stories tall. It's got escalators. All that stuff is still there. It's like going back in time. It's very odd when you go in there. But as far as that goes, you can't let buildings go. You can't just ignore them and say, oh, we'll fix it up when we use it again. It's going to get unusable. There's talk about just tearing it down, tearing that part of the mall off. And to me, I think it probably would be a good decision. Now they're trying to find out if someone will invest in it, fix it up. And they'll rent it to them for $1 a month and make a building out of it, because it can be anything can be fixed, but sometimes it gets very expensive. So there decisions have to be made on those kind of buildings that aren't maintained, whether it's even worth it. So you know where I'm getting at. Have you ever driven down the highways in Texas and looked to the left and right and you see these old dilapidated houses? You wonder who lived out here in the 40s and 50s. I mean, you're talking about horse and carriage, no roads, and here you're going down 59 or some of these major freeways, and sometimes your sub-freeways, the smaller highways all around, and you're seeing these old buildings. And I remember in Fort Worth, I used to go in them when I was a kid, and you'd see these old couches and somebody's shoes, and they've been there for 20 years. Somebody just got up and left one day and left all this junk in there. And you're just thinking, how, with the history of this thing, what happened in this house? Because somebody used it at one time. It was brand new at one time. But you got to maintain them if you're going to have a second home. All right. That was the whole point of that. Now, Ed, you're going to be up next. But electrical service is something we talked about with the on-demand electric water heater. And by the way, I have 2 of them in my home. I like them. I've had great results with them. They're different. They're a different animal. A lot of plumbers don't like them because you have to get an electrician in to do things, and they don't understand them. So you have to think outside of the box, and a lot of tradespeople don't want to think outside of the box, and I understand, because they just focus on one thing. And if you're a service company and there's an electrical problem and you're a plumber and people call you out to fix it and you can't, you just start to say, I don't like those things. I don't want to deal with them. It's a shame, but it's the way it is. But when it comes to electrical service, you need an electrician. There's no doubt about it. You call an electrician. You don't call a plumber. Plumbers do one thing. Electricians do another. And if you have an electrical problem at your home, yes, you call an electrician. Who do you call? Right Touch Electrical. That's who you call. Right Touch Electrical. They're the ones that will come out and fix your electrical problems. That's right. I call them all the time when I have a problem. I don't call them just for fun. But, I would. Will's a nice guy. Gary's a nice guy. They're the owners. But most importantly, Will's a master electrician, and all the electricians that work for him, well, they're all licensed electricians too. That's what they deal with, electrical problems. And it doesn't have to be a problem. It can be a fun solution to, like, say, hanging a new ceiling fan or replacing the lighting scheme in your house or the outside for that matter. They do it all. When it comes to electrical stuff like lights and fans and things of that nature, more than happy to come over and you can redecorate your home, and light fixtures is a great way to do it. And lighting, you want to do specialty lighting and stuff, they'll set it all up for you. They'll make it work. They're good. They're electricians. So give Right Touch Electrical a call. If you have any service problems at all, that's what they do when it comes to electrical issues. We had a caller earlier. A GFCI it tripped and it won't reset. So what's he going to do? It probably needs to be replaced. If he's not comfortable doing it, better have an electrician come out and check it. Not only will they replace it, but they'll find out why it happened. So if there's any problem down the run, they'll take care of it. That's Right Touch Electrical.
Getting the yard and garden you really want is easy with help from the Home Show Garden Pros. Houston's leading independent, locally owned nurseries come together with Danny Milligan. Saturday, 7 till 9.
How much water should I give the grass?
Answering questions anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com. Videos, advice, tips, and the Garden Pros podcast. Always on,
always free.
Helping you be a better gardener. The Home Show Garden Pros. Saturday, 7 till 9 on Sports Radio 610.
And online anytime
at homeshowgardenpros.com.
Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.